Good evening, church. It's good to be back again tonight, and I'm looking forward to another meeting on health. What is our motto?
Healthy
by
choice
and not by chance. But we're going to talk a little bit. We're going to start talking about this. Does this look familiar to anybody? I tell you, we work a long time to get to buy an automobile, right? In fact, anymore, I was studying this, I thought, I can't even imagine if my mom and dad could see how expensive automobiles cost anymore. Whether it's a van, an SUV, it's like you're buying a house. Seriously, they're so expensive. And not only are they expensive to purchase, but, you know, anymore we kind of look at, can we just afford the payments? We may never pay that automobile off. We just get it and see if we can afford the payments. And then once you get it, you've got to keep it up, right? You know, especially when the gas prices get close to $2.30, up to $3, and we almost had what? We had some $4 and up one time. And have you ever wished you could just put something in that tank besides fuel? I mean, seriously, I can't tell you how many times we've talked about, boy, if we could just come up with something. You know, water's really cheap. Have you ever thought about putting water? It's a liquid, right? Gasoline's a liquid. Diesel's a liquid. Why can't we pour water in it? You know, some people have tried that. In fact, I've seen it on the internet where they had tried it. And unfortunately, when they put that water in the tank, guess what happened? It locked up. And water can cause a lot of rust, a lot of corrosion, a lot of problems. It's kind of it's almost similar to what happens in our body with all the inflammation when we put the wrong food and the wrong drinks into our body. You know, the blood vessels, the knees, we get inflammation, we begin to hurt, we begin to ache. Sometimes we just need to read what? The owner's manual. And tonight I'm referring to the Bible. Your Creator gave you an owner's manual, the Bible. We must first learn what the Creator has stated that He feels is best for us, and we're going to look at that tonight. And that is what abundant living. See if I can get my clicker to work. Living a healthy Christian lifestyle is all about. You know, God knew that spiritual well-being will rely much on how we feel physically, right? If we feel physically down, sometimes it's just like we can't think and the Holy Spirit can't communicate with us. God is also looking for this. He's looking for doers of the word and not hearers only. What did I say, church? He's looking for what? Doers of the word and not hearers only. A doer is one who performs or executes something. A doer is engaged in action. In fact, my husband has said many times he likes to be around shakers and movers, people who are doing something in the cause of Christ. I do too. It's infectious. You catch it. You get excited when you see the Holy Spirit moving. Let's begin looking at James 1, verses 22 through 25. There we go. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Now, if I stopped right there, I mean, that is heavy. God is asking you to be a doer of the word and not just a hearer. You've been coming to these meetings for over a week now, and you've heard a lot of things. But if you don't act on it, right here in the book of James, it says you're deceiving your own self. You're deceiving your own self. When these truths are presented from the Word of God and we don't act on it, we're deceiving our own selves. For if any be a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway he forgetteth what manner of man he was. You know, many of us, we may find that hard because we've got mirrors all around us anymore. But there may be a few of us that look in the mirror and then we leave it and we think we look a lot better than we did. You know, we forget what we really seen in that mirror. But whosoever, now listen, whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So in other words, you're looking into the perfect law of liberty. Where do we find that? You didn't click? I am having trouble with this, but we'll keep working at it. Okay. I am clicking it. It just isn't always taking hold. There he goes. He's trying to move that receiver a little closer for me back there. But let's go back to this. We look into the perfect law of liberty. Did we do that last week? Did we look into the law of liberty? We did, didn't we? But Jesus is saying here we need to continue in it. We look into it, and then we become a doer. We become a follower. We listen and we obey. And he promises if we do that, we will be blessed. How many of you in here want to be blessed of God? I do. And I can't imagine anybody not wanting to be blessed. God's blessing. Yet, we notice in Scripture, every time we read where he will bless us, it is always, and I know, Pastor, you mentioned this, it's always on condition that we are obedient, that we're doers of his will. Each evening, we've looked at a lot of different studies. I didn't always give you the footnotes, but I promised you if you wanted them, you could have them. Nobody asked me, so we didn't have to go look for a copy machine. But we've been looking at a lot of studies, a lot of thoughts, a few from the Bible, a few from scientists, some from doctors, as they have related to our health and well-being. This evening, we're going to focus specifically on what is taught in our owner's manual. And what is that, church? The Bible, concerning our diet. Now, there's a lot of people that have never, ever opened the Bible and realized that God says anything about our diet. If that's you, hold on, buckle your seatbelt, because you've got a big ride ahead of you tonight, okay? We're going to take a big ride together. And believe me, God does have a lot to say about our health and our well-being in Scripture. In fact, he says that our bodies are the temple in which he wishes to dwell in. He calls your body his temple. He wants to dwell in your body, in your mind. Well, we are really having trouble with that. There we go. 1 Corinthians 3:16 and 17, let's read this. It says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" Have you ever thought about that? He wants to dwell in your heart. He wants to dwell in your mind. If any man defile the temple, come on, there we go. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall, this is heavy. What's the two words? God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Is it important? Is it important? Your body is the temple of God. He cares about what you put in your body. He cares about what you put on your body. Or might I say, the lack of what you put on your body. Do you understand that? He cares about this temple. And he says, if you're going to defile it, if you're going to harm it, he says God will destroy those who defile that temple. If it matters to God, church, should it matter to us? Absolutely. Those are not, oh, thank you. We're going to do a different one? Oh, let me see if I can learn it real quick. Have you already got it set up? Show me which one do I push. Okay. Little technical difficulties. Okay, thank you. All right, got it. Wonderful. We're going to try a different one and see if this works better. Maybe the batteries were getting low in that one. I'm not sure. But we were just mentioning, if it's important to God, should it be important to us? Absolutely, it should be. Hence, our nightly health nugget model. Say it again with me. Healthy by choice and not by chance. But praise God, he hasn't left us in ignorance. If he requires something from us, do you think he would not tell us about it? Huh? Absolutely not. In fact, he promises in our ignorance, he winks at. So if he's expecting something from us, he's going to tell us about it. We're going to look at Genesis 1, 29 and 30, because we want to go back, and I've said this from night to night. If you want to see how God first set something up, how, remember in creation, and when he would create things, he would say, it is so good. He made it perfect. So if we want to go back to how it would be as close to perfection, if not perfection as possible, we go back to the book of Genesis. Genesis 1, 29 and 30, and it reads, and God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which the fruit of the tree yielding seed, it shall be for meat. Now, first of all, just right there, we've got a problem. We've got a problem. How many of you go to the store and buy fruit and buy vegetables and you can't find the seeds? They've been genetically changed. Man has dabbled in what God created. You know, when I was a little girl, I loved those green grapes because they had no seeds. I didn't care about the seeds. Now that I'm older and I'm feeling the effects of some of this stuff, I look for grapes with seeds. I look for watermelons with seeds. I look for cucumbers with seeds. I want it as close to the way God created it as possible because my body doesn't like it. And I know as you study the science, you will find this. They have also been genetically modified so that they are resistant to the chemicals that they're spraying for the weeds. In other words, they can spray everything and not kill the fruit or the vegetable. But you know what's happening? It's soaking it up and you're eating it. You're eating it. We're the first generation to be eating this. And did you also notice here it says, to you it shall be for meat. That is a good example because many times in the Bible we find where God is talking about food, but he calls it meat. But when we think of meat, we usually think of what, church? Flesh food, animals. But it doesn't always mean flesh food or animals when we're talking about it in Scripture. And every tree, I'm just looking to see where I was. And to every beast of the earth and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb, you know, like grass and leaves, for meat, for food. And it was so. Look at this. In the beginning, all animals, all creatures were vegetarians. And you know, it only makes sense. Can you imagine? Because when we think of the Garden of Eden, we think of something beautiful, something peaceful, you know, no problem whatsoever. Can you imagine a roaring lion going through there and tearing up a baby lamb? What kind of peace and harmony would that be? See, in the beginning, they were vegetarian. They didn't eat flesh food. They weren't after one another, as it were. They didn't have predators and prey. And everything was peaceful and lovely, the way God created it. Let's look at Genesis 7, verse 2. It says, you shall take with you seven of every clean animal, a male and his female, and two each that are unclean, a male and his female. Now, what are we talking about here? Who did he tell that to? To Noah. Church, I've got a question for you. Clean and unclean. Was there an Israelite? Was there a Jew at the time of the flood? No. But somehow we can ascertain from this scripture that Noah knew the difference between animals that were clean and animals that were unclean, correct? Are you with me? Good. God spells this out a little bit clearer for us and also for the Israelites, because in Leviticus chapter 11, they too had forgotten. Let's look at Leviticus 11, verses 2 and 3. Speak to the children of Israel. Now there are Israelites. And I want to make a point here, too, because a lot of people think, well, that's just for Israel. But we just saw in the beginning, before there was an Israelite, there was still clean and unclean meat. And doesn't the Bible teach that we've been grafted in? Aren't we now spiritual Israel? Right? This pertains to all people, all of God's people. These are the animals which you may eat among the animals that are on the earth. Among the animals, whatever divides the hoof, having clean hoofs and chewing the cud, that you may eat. Did you notice there's two things here? They have a divided hoof and they chew the cud. When you look up what chewing the cud means, an animal that chews a cud has four sections in its stomach. And I didn't try to memorize every section, but it'll take like the grass and it'll go into the first section and it kind of mixes with some of the acidic environment in there, and it kind of comes back in little balls and he begins to chew it again and then it goes back in. That's what chewing the cud is all about. And an animal that chews the cud, they are just, if they're happy and they're healthy, they're chewing all day long. You see it all day long. Split hoof. You think of a horse has just one big hoof, right? But one that's split, it's just like it's divided into two. Two identifying marks. For example, a cow. What do you think? Does a cow chew the cud? Does it have a split hoof? Yes, it does. So a cow is clean. How about sheep? Yes, it is. Sheep are clean. Oh, I know when you look at that cute little face, all you can think about is, I can't wait to get home and make some camel burgers or maybe some camel steaks or camel ribeyes. I have no idea. But what does the Bible say? He's so cute. Bless his little heart. Is he clean or is he unclean? What does God say? Well, we're going to jump over to Deuteronomy chapter 14, verses 7 and 8, and let's see what it says. Nevertheless, of those that chew the cud or, this is one or the other, or have cloven hooves, you shall not eat, such as these, the camel. Oh, brothers and sisters, I'm so sorry. No camel burgers. No baked camel, no stewed camel, no pasta camel. Do you love Jesus enough to give up camel? That's the question. The hare. What is the hare? Huh? It is a rabbit. A rabbit has a simple digestive system, and what happens is a lot of the impurities from the things that it eats, it stays in its flesh. God says, don't eat them. The rock hyrax, wait a minute, this is all in the same one. The rock hyrax, that is a big rat. The King James Version calls it a coney. It's a big rat that lives in rocks, and I know that this is a tough one because I'm sure, like the camel, you love your fried rat. Hey, I've actually seen people in China take mice alive and just hold them upside. They're still wiggling, trying to get away, and they go down in their stomach alive. Alive. God says, don't eat them. Don't eat them. For they chew the cud, but do not have cloven hoofs. They are unclean for you. They're unclean. Now, this one, you got a glimpse of it because I accidentally, in trying to learn this clicker, I clicked it too many times. But that other white meat, have you ever heard that? A lot of the big companies are promoting the other white meat. This one might hit a little closer to home. Maybe you really don't eat camel. Maybe you really don't want fried rats. But you might want that other white meat. The Bible says, also the swine. is unclean for you. A pig is just like camels and rats and rabbits. It's because it has cloven hooves, yet it does not chew the cud. You shall not eat their flesh or touch their dead carcasses. God says, you find a dead pig, don't even touch it. Don't even touch it. God says, ham, pork, bacon, it's unclean. If pork were good for us, do you think God would give it to us? You guys are just stumped. They just don't know what to think. This other white meat, they don't want to give it up. Or maybe we're going back to the camels. Have I depressed you? It's not me. I'm reading from Scripture. You take it down, write it down. It's not me. In fact, let me give you an example. When I was a young girl, my mom, she used to own a couple restaurants in Cahokia, which is right across the river from St. Louis. And I didn't go to church a whole lot unless I went down to visit my grandparents. And I'd go to church with them, and I would hear things, you know, like about that white meat, about pork. But, you know, my favorite sandwich was a ham sandwich. That was my favorite sandwich. And my mom and dad, they got kind of a rocky relationship. And he was in the back one day, and he was arguing with my mom, and I was sitting up on the counter, and I was eating my ham sandwich. It was ham and mustard. And, you know, they were complaining and talking about things that had to do with spiritual things. And he finally looked at me, and he says, "What do you think that ham is?" "Ham? It's pork." And I was just a very young girl, and that was my favorite sandwich. But I'm going to tell you the truth. I had enough love for Jesus at that time in my life. I laid it down. I never picked it up again. If pork were good for us, God would give it to us. But because it tastes good, doesn't mean it's good for you. Cigarette smoking, it feels good. It affects your nervous system. But we saw the other night what it does to your lungs. And it hurts you. It will destroy you. Alcohol feels good when you drink it sometimes. You kind of escape the world, right? Hopefully you don't know that. I know nobody. I see one head. I'm not going to point out, but somebody's shaking their head, yes. Anyway, you may escape, but it will end up destroying you. Let's look at Psalms 84:11. No good thing. Let me go back. I want to read the first part. It's not up on the screen for you, but I want you to listen to this. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. He's watching over you. The sun, it gives life. He's protecting you. It's a shield. He's protecting you. The Lord will give grace and glory. He gives you what you don't deserve. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Isn't that beautiful? God is the sun, and he's your shield. And no good thing will he withhold from those he loves. If pork were good for us, God would give it to us. Now, some of you may be saying, "Oh boy, I just don't know what to think. Is there any scientific evidence?" You know, some of us, as a young child, I didn't need science, but sometimes we get older, we want to question. So we're going to look at a little scientific evidence here. Pork is loaded with saturated fats and cholesterol. In fact, it's one of the highest meats in saturated fat. Number two, cancer in the pig's skin, kidneys, and lymphatic system and other organs is very common. How many of you think that it doesn't affect you if you eat those cancerous organs? They have found scientifically that it does. Number three, pork products are regularly preserved with nitrates that are known to produce cancer-causing compounds. In fact, most of your processed meat has nitrates in it. Under a microscope in pork, you can see the trichina larva. Trichinosis can be a major health problem. See, people that eat pork, that trichina larva enters the stomach and those little eggs hatch and it begins to attack different parts of your body, and you come down with things like rheumatoid arthritis or rheumatism. I want to go to another verse. It's very similar to the one we just read. This one is in Proverbs 30, verse 5. It says, every word of God is pure. We were reading in Leviticus, reading in Deuteronomy. Is it pure? God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. He's the one that gave us the owner's manual. He is your creator. He is your sustainer. He is your life giver. Reading on in Proverbs 30, verse 5, it says, he is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. So if you put your trust in him and you follow his will, you become a doer of the word, he promises to be your shield. He's promising to give you life. And the other night we also mentioned John 14, verse 15, where Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. This is not the Ten Commandments, but it is a command. He didn't say, if you want to do it, go ahead. You have a choice. He says, don't eat it. It's an abomination. Well, I know that may be enough for everybody, but we're going on. Are you ready? You want to go on? Okay, let's go on. What does God say about sea life? What does God say about sea life? Well, we're going to go back to Leviticus 11, verses 9 and 10. And we read here, these you may eat of all that are in the water. Whatever in the water has fins. Now pay close attention. We had the cloven hoof and choose the cub. Now we've got two more identifying marks. The animals that are in the water, they have to have fins and scales. Whether in the sea or in the river, that you may eat. But all in the seas or in the rivers that do not have fins and scales, all that move in the water or anything which is in the water. You know, when I read this, I thought, you know, the Bible writer was covering all the bases, kind of like a lawyer. You know, have you ever read things from a lawyer and he's covering so many bases you get lost, right? You're not sure where you're at, but he's covering every excuse. He says, all that move in the water or anything which is in the water, they are what? Abomination to you. What is an abomination? I looked it up. It's something that causes disgust. It's something hate that we should hate, or hatred. It's something that you should hate. It's an abomination. God says if it has fins and scales, it is clean. If not, it's probably a scavenger. A scavenger, you know, like crabs. And lobsters, they eat everything off of the bottom of the seas, off of the bottom of the waters. And isn't it interesting, when we catch fish, we kill the fish right away, don't we? You might put them in your refrigerator, you might put them in your freezer, you can save them for later. But if you are eating crabs or lobsters, you have to keep them alive. In fact, you boil them alive. Lobsters and other shellfish, listen, have harmful bacteria naturally present in their flesh. Do you think God knew what he was talking about? Did he create all the sea animals? Absolutely. He knew what he was talking about. They have harmful bacteria naturally present in their flesh. And once the lobster is dead, this bacteria can rapidly multiply and release toxins, poisons in that little creature, that cute little guy that you see up there staring at you. And if you eat it, it can even kill you. That's why you go to Red Lobster, you'll see lobsters alive in the tank. God says, don't eat clams, eel, or shark if it doesn't have fins or scales. Back in 1988, in Shanghai, China, nearly 300,000 people got sick from hepatitis A just from eating clams. 300,000 people. And you hear about people all the time. Every once in a while, it'll pop up on the news where they got sick or they died because of the eating some of this stuff. So, that was a lot to cover. Well, it's hot in here. I don't know about you, but I'm hot. Not because of this necessarily, but it is warm in here. What about the birds? What about the birds? Have you guys ever seen anybody or have you ever eaten a bird? What does God say about the birds? Leviticus 11, verse 13. We find again that a scavenger bird of prey are not to be eaten. Let's read this. And these you shall regard as an abomination among the birds. Well, there's that word again, an abomination. Something you should detest, something you should hate. They shall not be eaten. They are an abomination. The eagle, the vulture, the buzzard. Notice God does not mention the turkey or the chicken. They're okay. But the scavenger birds, they are not. Are you ready to wrap this up? Let's wrap it up in three categories, shall we? In the Bible, there are three diets. First one is the unacceptable diet. The scavenger, they're basically God's sewage disposal systems. The pigs on land, the scavengers on that fly in the air that clean up in the woods, and the scavengers in the ocean. And number two, then we have the acceptable diet, the clean meats, the diet that God gave Noah and his family around the time of the flood. And thirdly, we have what we call the ideal diet, the one we go back to the beginning to see how God set it up. Fruits, nuts, grains, vegetable, the diet that God gave Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. But some of you may be thinking, oh, well, yeah. But, you know, weren't all of those things nailed at the cross? Have you ever heard that before? Weren't they nailed at the cross? Brothers and sisters, when Jesus died on the cross, he died to save sinners. He died to save you and me. He did not cleanse pigs or camels or rats or rabbits. If before the cross something was created in an unhealthy manner for us to eat, isn't it only logical that it would be the same after the cross? He didn't change the chemistry. When Christ died on the cross, he did not change the chemistry of these animals. He didn't change the chemistry of pigs. Some may say, but you know what? I know I have read Peter. God told Peter, he said, you're not to call any food unclean. You remember that dream? Peter was up on the housetop. He fell into a trance. In fact, he was hungry. It was about the sixth hour of the day, and he was praying, and he was waiting for food to be prepared. I'm going to jump. This won't be on your screen, but I'm going to read some verses beginning in Acts chapter 10, verse 11. Acts chapter 10, verse 11. And he saw heaven opened up, a certain vessel descending unto him as it had been a great sheet, knit at the four corners and let down to earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. Verse 13, and there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that was common or unclean. You see, a lot of people look at that. Remember, we've got two categories of meat, flesh meat. You've got the clean and you've got the unclean. A lot of studiers, when they see that common or unclean, they interpret that as the clean. So most likely, Peter was even a vegetarian at this time. Verse 15, and the voice spake unto him again the second time, what God hath cleansed, thou call not thou common. This happened three times. Peter knew God was the same yesterday, today, and forever. He knew the word of God. So even in a trance, a vision, when God presented something that he knew was wrong in Scripture, He said, not so, Lord. He knew God that well, and he loved him that much. Now, while Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision, the men, this is Acts 10, verse 17, the men sent by Cornelius, and we can find in Acts 10, 19, that there were three men. How many times did God tell Peter, Peter, rise, kill, and eat? Church, come on. I know it's hot. Somebody, if you can turn that down, we'd love it. I think they're falling asleep on me. How many times did he tell them to rise, kill, and eat? Three times. How many men were there waiting for Peter? Three men. Does God make a mistake? Do you think that was an accident, or do you think that was God's providence? He knew he was teaching Peter something very important. He found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. He, Peter, said to them, you are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with a Gentile or to visit him. But God has shown me that I should not call any man impure or unclean. Right there, remember we talked about let the Bible interpret itself. Is that clear, church? He wasn't changing. Christ is such a wonderful teacher. He can take the things that we are familiar with and give us a spiritual lesson. Peter was very familiar with clean and unclean meats. And so when he gave them this vision and those men sent by Cornelius, those Gentiles, then he understood through the power of the Holy Spirit that God was telling him, we are not to call any man impure or unclean. Like all Jews, Peter considered Gentiles unclean. Peter, a Jew, considered those of another race unclean and would not associate with them. This is really no different than what we find in today's society in many places. This morning I was watching this Arab gentleman, and a Jew had come up. He didn't realize he was Arab. And once they begin to talk, because he does things on Facebook, and the Jew didn't want anything to do with him. Still, it's still prevalent in today's society. And we know it's prevalent here in the United States in many forms and fashion as well. God's lesson to Peter and Christ, church, read it with me. We're all one. We are all one in Christ. In Christ, there are no ethnic barriers between sisters and brothers. I mean, can you imagine going to the kingdom in heaven? Well, this is the French, and that's the Germans, and this, hello? Christ was teaching Peter how we're to treat people. Had nothing to do with eating the other white meat. Nothing to do with cleansing pigs. He's saying black, white, Hispanic, Asians, Arabs, we are all one people in Christ. Didn't Jesus say that it's not what goes into a man that defiles him, but it's what comes out? Jesus was talking. He was talking to the Pharisees. You see, when a Pharisee, if they even rubbed shoulders with a Gentile, they had to go in and wash their hands because they thought they were unclean. And they believed if they ate any food that was even touched by a Gentile, touched by somebody that was not a Jew, that they were sinning. Did you ever read that in Scripture? You won't find it. Jesus says it's not what goes into a person that defiles him. You're not contaminated by touching sinners. Remember, he loves the sinner. He hates the sin. Your pride, your greed, the things that contaminate our heart. That's what he's talking about. This same principle we can find. This explains what Paul was referring to in Romans 14. Romans 14, verse 2. I don't have that in my PowerPoint. If you can pull that up, Romans 14, verse 2. It says, for one believeth that he may eat all things. Another who is weak eateth herbs. There you go, see? A lot of people say, there you go, he cleansed it. Jewish people, the Israelites, God's people throughout all generations in the Bible, they never ate anything that was unclean. And we just read that Peter didn't even eat the common or the clean. Paul was addressing food that had been offered to idols. You see, he was trying to correct a lot of things, because many things that led up to the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, you know, they no longer had to abide by it. But there were other people that had left the faith, and they were offering things to idols. And the Jews felt that if you ate some food that was offered to idols, that they would be sinning, that it was wrong. And other people felt like it really didn't matter at all. But those who did, they thought, well, we can't eat that because they've offered it to their god or their idol, so we'll just eat vegetables. That's all he's talking about here. You know, when you study scripture, I learned many, many years ago, if you want to know the truth on a subject, look everything up, take you a concordance, look it all up, and look for those passages like we read in Leviticus, like we read back in Genesis, like we read in Deuteronomy, that are so very, very clear. And all these other things will match up to it. You'll figure out what the meaning is. Brothers and sisters, you may be wondering, how can I have victory over my undesirable habits? And it may be more than just food. It may be alcohol. It may be smoking. It may be drugs. It's anything that separates you from your heavenly Father. The beautiful promise as recorded in John 1:12. Listen to this. But as many as received him, received who? Jesus Christ. To them gave he power to become the sons of God. You don't have it within yourself. You don't have it within yourself. There's a lot of things in this world that we talked about the seducing spirits. We talked about, what is it in Revelation called, sorcery, that the enemy is using. He's doing anything and everything that he can to get us off track, to get us off that straight and narrow that leads to heaven. And this is just one of it, one part of it. How can we be overcomers? First, we know we confess, and we repent, and we believe. We confess, we repent, and we believe God. That's all he's asking. Have faith. Can we please God without faith? God says something is an abomination. Is it an abomination? Yes. Absolutely it is. It doesn't change. He doesn't change. You can be a son or a daughter of God. Tobacco, alcohol, unclean foods, they don't have to hold you. Go back, claim John 1:12 again. As many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God. He gives you that power. He leads you in the path of righteousness, but he doesn't leave you there. He equips you to walk that path. And that path is not always popular in this world, but it's a path that leads to eternity, and it's popular with all of the universe, with all of heaven, with all of heaven. We can be healthy by choice and not by chance. It has to do with love. It has to do with our relationship with Jesus Christ. You may have something tonight that you know is separating you from Jesus. It could be smoking. We know people that have gone to church for 20 years and they felt like they could never give it up. It could be alcohol. It could be swine. Lobsters. It could be any of these things. If that is you tonight, I want to invite you to come up and let's claim that power together. It may be nothing we talked about, but there's something in your heart, something that the Holy Spirit is bringing to your mind and saying you need to lay this at the cross of Calvary. Calvary. Jesus is coming back. He's coming back for a peculiar people, a royal priesthood, a chosen generation. And he wants you to be ready. Is there anybody that would like to come up and say, you know, I want nothing between me and my Lord. Nothing between me and my Lord. Please come up and let's pray together. We want nothing, nothing. You can lay it down tonight. We can repent. We can confess. Amen. We can have faith. We can draw on that power of God. Amen. He promises to give us a power to be sons and daughters of God. He's promised. He says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. He's written you on the palm of his hand. Amen.